Today we start speaking about algorithms for constraint optimization, and in this framework, for the time being, X will be any convex subset of a rank which is not specified in any particular way. Okay? We don't need an explicit description of the set to theoretically develop the algorithm. The important assumption is the convexity of the set. Because, as we've been seeing on Tuesday, necessary optimality conditions read this way. The scalar product of the gradient of F at the candidate solution X bar with any direction which has the form X minus X bar is greater or equal to zero, where X is any point in capital X. Okay? The general condition is with a direction in the tangent cone, but Tuesday we have seen that when the set is convex, we can describe those points, those directions in this way. Okay? So, this is the condition that will replace stationarity. Okay? In unconstrained optimization, we said that the point was stationary for F, if the gradient of F at that point was zero. Okay? Now, this is our concept of stationarity in this framework. Okay? So, what is the basic idea to develop a solution method? Okay, when we are at a current point, let's say xk, we would like to move in another point where the objective function has a lesser value, and at the same point, the new point is also feasible. Okay? If this happens, we stop. So, one way to do this is to find and let me call it X bar K in capital X, such that this scalar product is negative. If we manage to find such a point, surely xk is not stationary according to this definition. Okay? And notice that according to our own experience with unconstrained optimization, this is a descent direction for x at xk. We know that a sufficient condition to be a descent direction in a point is that this scalar product is negative. Okay? So, with this point here, we achieve two goals at the same time. We disprove stationarity. We find out that the point is not stationary, and at the same time we find a descent direction. Okay? So, let's say xk is here, for instance, it could be that there is some x bar k here, so that this direction is a descent direction for f at xk, And at the same time, by its own nature, it is also a feasible direction. For capital S at X. Okay? We know that feasible directions in a complex set are done this way. You take a point in the set, and you can move along that direction. Okay, so that the new point xk plus 1 will be the whole point plus some step along the direction x bar k minus xk. Okay? Xk is feasible and we would like xk plus 1 to be feasible as well. Okay? In such a way that we generate a sequence of points which are all feasible. Okay? Towards the end of the course, we will be seeing methods in which we generate unfeasible solutions, okay? And we would like them to converge to a feasible one. But in this type of methods, we want to keep feasibility, okay? And we have to be careful because feasibility is not preserved for any step size, okay? For instance, here, if I take two times this direction as to move away, I get up here. Okay? I will surely keep being in the feasible region if at most I get to xk bar. Okay, because by convexity this is the point of the region, this is the point of the region, so the full segment is in the region. How are these points described? These points are t times xk plus 1 minus t times xk bar for t belonging to 0, 1. Okay? For t that varies in 0, 1, this vector describes this segment. Okay? And so, by convexity, it belongs to capital X. Have a look at it. No, sorry. I would like. Okay, it's just the same, but I prefer to put t here. Sorry, t here and 1 minus t here. Okay, so 1 minus t xk plus t times xk bar. It's equivalent. Okay? Because you just switch the coefficients, but the sum is always 1, and it is a generic coefficient. Why I'm asking for this? Because I want you to see how this can be written. This can be written as xk plus t times xk bar minus xk. Okay, so I guess you understand why I prefer that way. If t is in between 0 and 1, here I'm describing this segment. Okay, so choosing a tk between 0 and 1, okay, 0 is not interesting, otherwise, 0. We describe this segment, which is inside the feasible region. So, if we take a step which is at most unitary along that direction, we keep being in the physical region. Okay? So, unlike the unconstrained case, here we have a first requirement on the step. The step must be between 0 and 1 so that we preserve feasibility. Indeed, these type of methods are called methods of feasible directions.
Because I move along feasible directions and I preserve feasibility.
How do I choose this step size? Okay, we discussed this for unconstrained optimization. We started with exact search, and then we find out that exact search had a number of drawbacks, so we got to some inexact line search. Okay. And the core of inexact line search was the Hermitian condition. Okay? The Hermitian conditions requires to choose a step size such that f at xk plus 1, so at xk plus dk times dk is less or equal than f at xk plus c1 times pk times the scalar product of the gradient at the current point xk with direction dk. Okay? In this context, direction dk is this one. Okay? Xk bar minus xk. When we discussed our Hermitian condition, we proved, and I will not do it once again, that the Hermitian condition is surely satisfied if the step size is small enough. Okay, there is an interval going from 0 up to some value tau, such that all points in this interval satisfy the Hermitian condition, and this is because this C1 is taken in between 0 and 1, and this scalar product is negative. Okay, so check back your old notes, and you will find that just writing the formula for the directional derivatives, you will easily get by a limit argument that there is an interval done this way, in such a way that the Hermitian condition is satisfied. We don't know whether tau is greater, equal, or smaller than 1. Okay? So, in our framework, we ask now for t to be less or at most 1. Okay. So, how do we find a point which satisfies the Hermitian condition? Well, it's simple. You take the dissection argument, okay?
We know that the Hermitian condition, so if this is zero, this is tau, such that the Hermitian condition is satisfied.
Well, you start, let's say one is here, you start from one, you decrease it of a factor, you end up here, it's not satisfied, you end up here, it's not satisfied, you end up here, it is satisfied, and you stop. Okay?
So, we can make this formal into the Hermitian procedure. Which simply says, choose some gamma in between 0 and 1.
Just to fix ideas, you can think of 1 up.
And you put your current point equal to 1. Okay? If C satisfies the Hermitian condition, then you stop. You have found your satisfied TK will be equal to your current. If not, you replace T by gamma T, and you go back to point. I mean, if the dissection argument is the dissection technique, if you take gamma to be 1/2, okay?
If one doesn't satisfy my condition, I take 1/2. If 1/2 doesn't satisfy my condition, I take 1/4, and so on. Okay? In the end, TK will be gamma to some power s, where s is the number of iterations you've been doing here. Okay? If you do zero iteration, it is 1, otherwise it is gamma, otherwise it is gamma squared. Okay?
Here is the number of iterations of the procedure.
As you will see in a few minutes, I'm asking you to find a point satisfying the initial condition by this procedure. Okay? What I'm going to show you works if you follow this procedure. Okay? It's not just a procedure to find any point this way. I need it to be done this way. Okay? In the proofs of the result, we will use that TK is done this way. Okay? And we will use that, yes, gamma to the S power satisfies the Hermitian condition, and gamma to the S minus 1 does not satisfy it. Okay? We will use that. So, the method of feasible direction is completely described by what I told you, by the simple idea. So, we start from some F0, which is a feasible point, and we set the iteration counter to 0. Then, if XK is stationary, so if this condition is true, then we have a stationary point, so we stop. Otherwise, you choose an XK bar in capital X such that this scalar product is negative. Okay? And we choose this as our own direction, so that the direction we will move along is this physical direction here. Then we compute the step size pk through the Hermitian procedure. And then we move away from xk along direction dk of a step size tk to get to the new point xk plus 1. Then we update the iteration counter and we iterate. Okay, so this is the formal description of this basic idea. There are a few things I did not tell you. This is not an algorithm you can code, okay? There are a couple of reasons, okay? One is that to code it, you have to specify how you choose, okay, the point in the physical region to get the direction. So how will you choose this direction? And so how you choose that point? And then, apparently even more difficult, how can you check this condition? The stationarity condition. In the unconstrained case, it was pretty easy because it was the gradient at the parent point is zero. So you had to compute the gradient. Okay. Here, it is not enough to compute the gradient. Okay, I will compute all these scalar products. Oh, this is impossible for a computer program because the number of points in capital X is infinite, okay? Just the number of points along this line is infinite, and it is not even countable, okay? So, to give you a method that should tell you how to check stationarity and how to choose the direction, and so X bar K if the point is not stationary, okay? So, that's the reason why here I didn't write methods, but I write methods, okay? There are different types of methods, and they are specified when you explain how you check stationarity and how you choose the direction. So, the methods are different for the way they perform these two tasks. Today, I aim to show you one method of this kind, okay? And maybe when we meet again, I'll show you a second method before moving to another topic.
What is this?
Okay, there is one property that I can prove you just without specifying the orange and yellow colors, the stationarity and the choice, the stationarity check and the choose of the direction. Okay, there is a property which works for all methods which are done this way, independently of these two tasks. And the property is the following, and the proof is, will take some time for us. Well, the result is saying the following. In the end, the gradient and the direction become more and more orthogonal to each other. Okay? Which is what we did not want in the unconstrained case. Okay? We asked for the direction not to become orthogonal to the gradient, as iterations were going by. So here what we can prove is exactly the following, is the following property. Let's suppose that the convex set X is compact. Then we will discuss this assumption. If you remember, compact means that it is closed, and particularly it is a bounded area of the space. It can be enclosed into a ball with some appropriate radius. Then, the method of thinking, oh no, sorry, let's write it this way. If the method of feasible directions generates an infinite sequence Xk, it means we never satisfy the stationarity condition, then you take the scalar product of the gradient of f at xk with direction d, k, done this way. Well, if you take the limit of this scalar product as k goes to plus infinity, it is zero. Okay? This is the formal way to say the gradient and the direction become more and more orthogonal. Okay? In the limit, they would be orthogonal. Okay? This property holds regardless how you perform these two tasks. Okay? Indeed, the key point of the proof is the Arvidsjö procedure. Okay? I write you the Arvidsjö conditions once again here. F
at f k plus t dk, that's to be less or equal than f at x plus t1 t times the scalar part.
I wrote it once again just to get it here.
So, let me rearrange it this way. So, I'm giving you the proof. This scalar product is negative. You see it here, okay? So, with minus this is greater or equal to 0, and if the Hermitian condition holds, I brought this onto this side, so I'm left with f at xk. I move this to the other side, and I get xk plus tk dk, so xk plus 1. Check our notes when you will be studying after the lecture, and check the proof I made for the gradient method with the inexact line search. I'm performing the same. I'm following the same steps. Okay. Now, I didn't tell you, but since we are using the Hermitian condition, and this is a negative quantity, the method is the same method. In the new point, the function value is less than in the old one. Okay. So the function of values, the sequence of values f at xk is a decreasing. It's a decreasing sequence. Okay, I forgot an assumption. I'm really sorry for that. We suppose both that this is compact, but we also suppose that f is bounded below. What I'm saying, the function cannot go to minus infinity, okay? If the function goes to minus infinity, and we know that, our problem is not interesting. Okay, we know that the minimum is, that the problem is unbounded, so that you can take points at which the value of the function is arbitrarily small, small in the sense that it's going to minus infinity. So we have a decreasing sequence which is bounded by below. Okay? You have a sequence of numbers, the value of the function, which is decreasing and at the same time is bounded by below. It cannot go below these thresholds. Calculus, you should check your old material. It means that this sequence has a limit. A decreasing sequence bounded by below has a limit. This is a result that you've been shown in the calculus course. Okay? Una successione di valori decrescenti che sono limitati dal basso, che quindi non possono decrescere sotto un certo valore, deve avere per forza limite. It is one of the main theoretical exercises in the calculus courses. Why I'm interested in this? Since this is a limit, if I take k that goes to plus infinity, this goes to the limit, and this goes to the limit. So the difference goes to zero.
Well,
here is PK, because it's our stack. If this goes to zero, this is zero. What's inside here goes to zero as well. Okay?
So, in calculus course you have this being called Teorema dei Carabinieri. Okay? I don't think there's an English for this, because Carabinieri is a type of police we just have in Italy.
So, okay, this is a constant value. So I'm saying that this quantity is going to zero, and if this quantity is going to zero, do not have troubles with signs. With signs, let's take the absolute value. So this is going to zero. Okay.
Now, what I would like to show you is that this is going to zero. Okay? Here I have TK, which does not allow us to get to the conclusion immediately.
Because this is going to zero means that this is going to zero or this is going to zero.
Okay? To be precise, should be the maximum limit that goes to the maximum limit goes to zero, the full sequence goes to zero. Okay, at least one of the two has to go to zero. So we want to exclude that this is the one going to zero. Okay.
So, we suppose that this goes to zero.
Okay, and at the same time, that this other quantity
does not go to zero.
Okay?
Does not go to zero. It means that there exists
a subsequence
here of these values, which are always greater or equal than some given fixed value eta. Okay? If for all eta the sequence is definitely less than eta, okay, you could call it, okay, I put eta in the notes, but you could call it epsilon. Okay? If this is not true, then the limit is zero. It's the definition of a limit. I'm contradicting the definition of a limit. Okay? I mean, for an infinite sequence of values, this could be going to zero. But there is also an infinite sequence of values for which this does not go to zero.
Chiaro? Ve lo ridico in italiano? Ok. Allora, che questo va a zero vuol dire per definizione che per ogni epsilon, da un certo k in poi, questo è minore di epsilon. Definizione di limite. Nego la definizione di limite, vuol dire esiste un epsilon tale che ogni tanto, per k che va all'infinito, questo deve essere maggiore di epsilon. Ok? Questo vuol dire kL. Okay, so
This is true, and at the same time, since Kk goes to zero, also this quantity goes to zero. So we have these two things.
Now, I will use the compactness assumption. Okay?
Xkf is a sequence of points which belongs to capital X.
Okay? So it's a sequence in a compact set. If you remember the very first lectures, we said that when you are in a compact set from a sequence, you can always extract a converging subsequence. Okay?
So, without loss of generality, we can suppose that this sequence converges to some x bar, which is in the compact set.
Okay? Now, I want to show you that this is true also for directions. The directions are also bounded.
Why? Well, this direction, let's take the norm of this direction. The norm of this direction is the norm, let's write this formula, it's the difference between these two points. Okay? But the norm of this difference is less or equal than the sum of the norms.
Okay.
Now, this belongs to X. This belongs to X. So, their norm are bounded.
Okay.
So, if X is inside of a ball of radius M, for instance, this is at most M, this is at most M, so this is at most 2 times M. Also, the directions are in a compact set, okay? They are in the ball of radius 0, of center 0 in radius 2M, where M is such that X is inside the ball.
Or center the ring of center 0 in radius M. Okay?
So why I told you this? I told you this because now since also the direction is provide a bounded sequence, a sequence in a compact set, I can suppose also, taking eventually subsequence, also that the direction converges to some limit direction in that.
Okay, I will... Let's
I can't tell the amusing procedure, but you remember it, okay? It's just by section.
After the proof, we make a break, huh? And
so, taking this into account, and taking the limit, we get also that this limit is greater or equal than epsilon.
Okay? Actually, we know that these quantities are negative, okay, for the way we choose the direction. So, actually, this can be also written, this is minus that is less or equal than minus this. Okay? I'm taking the absolute value, but I know that they are negative. So, you take out the absolute value and you put a minus here and then you multiply by minus 1.
Okay. So, we know this thing. which is negative.
Okay. Now, I want to show you that this has also to be positive. Okay? So we get to a contradiction.
And on this blackboard, I'm going to show you that
it is also positive.
I told you that TK satisfies the amnesia condition, and since we use the procedure, TK divided gamma does not satisfy the amnesia condition. Okay? That's the way we build the step size. Okay? With that type of bisection procedure, so that this does not satisfy the amnesia condition. So, let's write that this value for the step size does not satisfy the amnesia condition. Not satisfying the amnesia condition, it means, okay, let's say it's for this let's all consider the subsequence for which we have convergence. Okay? This does not satisfy the amnesia condition, it means that rather than less or equal in the amnesia condition, you have greater. Okay? And I rewrite it. Km plus TKM divided gamma DKM minus S at Xk has to be greater than C1 times TKL divided gamma this scalar product. I simply rewrote, so the amnesia condition is less or equal. Since this point doesn't satisfy, it is greater or equal. Okay. How do I get to the conclusion? I use the mean value theorem. Okay, so you should check the first chapter of the notes. You have that the difference of the values of a function at 2 points is equal. So here I use mean value theorem, theorema del valor medio. Once again, calculus. Okay. This is equal to the scalar product of the gradient computed, okay, in some point, which I will write afterwards, scalar product, with the difference of the two vectors. The difference of the two vectors is this quantity. So this is TKL divided gamma TKL. Okay? And the point at which you have to compute the gradient is a point in between xkl and xkl plus this other quantity. So, you have to compute the gradient at the point and the segment between this and this. Okay? Mean value theorem tells you that. Okay? The difference is exactly the scalar product of the gradient with their difference, but the gradient has to be computed in a point here, okay? Which you don't know which point is. There exists a point in this segment such that this is true. So, here I could write it for some tau kl d kf, where tau kf is between 0 and this value. Okay? For tau kl equals 0, you get this point. For tau KL equal to this value, you get this other point, and for all values in between, you get the same. Okay? We have to remark two things. This quantity goes to zero, so this goes to zero as well. KKL goes to zero implies also that tau KL goes to zero. Okay.
We are almost done. We are getting to our contradiction because
here I have these coefficients both here and here. Okay. So I can cancel it. Okay. And what I'm left with is that this color product is greater equal than, no, it's greater, sorry, than C1 times these are the scalar products. Now, all we have to do is to take the limit. If you take the limit, this quantity goes to zero. Okay? This goes to zero, this goes to the bar, so this goes to zero. This goes to x bar, so, and this goes to the bar. So, if I take the limit here, I get here. Okay? If I take the limit here, in the same way, I get here. And so, greater, when you have greater than you take the limit, and strict inequality becomes a usual inequality, so greater equal. Okay? But notice that this condition, this inequality now can be written as 1 minus C1, this scalar product, greater equal than 0. Okay? C1 is greater, is smaller than 1, so that this quantity is positive. So I can cancel it. The scalar product is positive.
Questo è un numero positivo per un altro numero, sono maggiore o uguale a 0, quindi questo numero deve essere maggiore o uguale a 0.
Okay.
So we have at the same time that this scalar product has to be greater or equal than 0 and smaller than 0. So this is the contradiction we were looking for. Okay.
So the proof is a bit technical. Okay. Let's just keep in mind that provides us this property. Okay. In methods of feasible direction, the gradient and the direction become more and more orthogonal. In the limit, they would be orthogonal. Okay? So, let's take a 5 minute break, and then I'll show you a concrete algorithm where those two tasks are performed in a very smart way.